Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and good morning. I'm glad to be back with you. This is your host, Brother T, your tour guide, if you will, through A Course in Miracles, the workbook lessons. And today we're going to be talking about lesson 14. So we're going to recap just a little bit because this is a pretty important lesson. They're all important. I'm not trying to diminish any whatsoever, but this was really kind of rocked my world when I first considered this idea. Okay, so let's talk about the title of the lesson. The lesson is, God did not create a meaningless world. Where that ultimately led me to the discovery of was that God, because I'd always been, I believed, you know, that God put us here, so to speak, that God created us as bodies, God created us as humans, and God put us in this place called the world, you know, a place clearly of separation from heaven or spirit or whatever we might view heaven to be or God to be in our best constructs, if you will. And so this came to me, it came at me like, you know, like a ton of bricks. It's like, what? God didn't create the world? Because at the end of the day, that who are we going to get mad at now, right? If we don't, you know, if we don't like the way things are going in the world, we all have experienced people that are mad at God, literally, because of the things that happen in the world. You know, there's somebody to blame for everything that's happening, and we can't understand why God would have this happen or that happen. And so we're absolutely entitled. And it's absolutely understandable that we would be mad at a God that would create a world where so much war and destruction and apparent hatred and abuse of animals or children or humans that are innocent are suddenly victimized and abused by everything from other humans to, you know, the weather, you know, where how the planet is operating in its travels around the, around our sun, around our star. So this one really worked on me because it opened up the door of a lot of insight that, okay, wow. So if God didn't create the world, it begs the question, right? I mean, well, if God didn't create the world, then who did? I mean, how is it that we appear to be here then, and how is it that we appear to be separate from God? And if God didn't create the world and we're here, then why wouldn't God rescue us? You know, that's another question that comes to mind. We look for God to rescue all the time. You know, the other day I had a conversation about how it was difficult for me at times when I would hear somebody say, oh, well, I'm blessed. You know, like I'm blessed and you're not. Or I wasn't blessed, but I started doing the right things, and then God blessed me with favor, as if God was withholding favor, or God was withholding love, or God was holding me in the penalty box because of who I am and how I behave, you know, out of most often ignorance. People do lots of things out of ignorance that appear to be wrong-minded or ill-conceived, yes? And so should they be held in the penalty box, right? God keeping them in the penalty box? Well, I don't know. I don't think so. Not if he didn't put them here to begin with. Not if he didn't create the world that we're literally looking at. Let's go back. Let's just review. Nothing I see means anything. Lesson number one, I have given everything I see all the meaning that it has for me. Number two. Number three, I do not understand anything I see. Four is these thoughts do not mean anything. They're like the things I see. Five, I'm never upset for the reason I think I am. Six, I'm upset because I see something that's not there. Seven, I see only the past. Eight, my mind is preoccupied with past thoughts. Nine, I see nothing as it is now. 10, my thoughts do not mean anything. Which is a repeat of four, right? My thoughts do not mean anything. 11, My meaningless thoughts are showing me a meaningless world. If my thoughts don't mean anything, then they're meaningless, right? And those thoughts are showing me a meaningless world. 12, I'm upset because I see a meaningless world. I'm not upset for the reason I think I am. I'm upset because I'm seeing and giving value to, giving meaning to a meaningless world. 13, yesterday's lesson, a meaningless world engenders fear. No doubt. And 14, today, God did not create a meaningless world. So if we take God off the hook, basically, if we can't, you know, hold God responsible for our experience, then who's responsible? This is where A Course in Miracles starts to become uncomfortable. Right? Who's responsible? I am. Who's responsible for the way my life looks today? I am. Who's responsible for how people show up in my experience? I am. They are in resonance with me. They must be. Everything is in resonance with me. We've talked about it in previous episodes where look around the room. Everything you see is in resonance with you. You've attracted it into your experience. Yeah, it's there to serve you. And maybe you're there to serve it, but it's all in resonance. And it's in vibrational resonance, co-resonance. And so is A Course in Miracles. It's in co-resonance with us right now. We are in co-resonance with this teaching. And we're stepping up into a higher consciousness, into a higher vibration, into a higher octave as we venture into this lesson today. It's requiring us to set aside our thoughts that we've been given, handed down to us, again, by well-intentioned people, but nonetheless, things that we've accepted that we are in resonance with. We are in alignment and resonance with all the things that are showing up, manifesting in our life. Does that make us uncomfortable? You bet. Yeah. And that's why a lot of people just want to put the book down because I don't want to know. Don't tell me that I'm responsible. I wouldn't set my life up this way. No, you know what? You might not. Not the ego self, because the ego self, if it was setting it up the way it wants it, new car, new house, king of the world, whatever. See, the ego is all about self-aggrandizement. It's all about being special. It's all about controlling and managing everything and everyone. It's all about playing God, making itself godlike, at least in the human image of God, a God that could be wrathful and vengeful and operate between suspicious and vicious and want to control everyone and everything and be the king or the queen of the world. That's not what God is. And that's not the God that we're talking about here and being shared information here by our brother Jesus in A Course in Miracles. Nope. God did not create a meaningless world. The idea for today is, of course, the reason why a meaningless world is impossible. What God did not create does not exist. It just doesn't exist. So if we go back to the very beginning of A Course in Miracles and our introduction to A Course in Miracles, and I'm going beyond the foreword, it says this is A Course in Miracles. It's a required course. Only the time you take it's voluntary. Free will does not mean that you can establish this curriculum. It means only that you can elect what you want to take at a given time. So if this is too unsettling, if there's too much resistance and you're feeling too much pressure and too much strain and you don't want to take the course, then it's okay. You don't have to take the course now. And clearly, most people aren't. And you know what? That's okay. But you're still going to have to take it. So for me, it's like, okay, It's almost like being a child, because we are much like children. It's like, okay, I just want to choose the things I like. I don't want to choose the things I don't like. But you know what? At some point, as we grow up, we start to make more mature choices. We say, you know what? I need to take this medicine, even though it tastes terrible. I'm still going to take it because this is what is going to lead to what I truly want. What do I truly want? Freedom, peace of mind, peace, joy, bliss, love. This course does not aim at teaching the meaning of love, for that's beyond what can be taught. It does aim, however, at removing the blocks to the awareness of love's presence, which is your natural inheritance. The opposite of love is fear, but what is all-encompassing can have no opposite. This course can therefore be summed up by very simply in this way. Nothing real can be threatened. Nothing unreal exists. Herein lies the peace of God. So going back to our lesson today, God did not create a meaningless world. What God creates is eternal. What we make as humans, and what the, you know, the creative aspect of the human intellect creates and makes, if you will, not creates, but makes, we can say, is temporary, here today, gone tomorrow, but it's fun, it's interesting, it's exciting, and there's nothing wrong with being in the energy of being in a creative mind and making things to make us more comfortable as humans, and we're pretty good at it, and we're getting better at it. But that's not creating something that's eternal. What God creates is eternal. So as bodies that ultimately that we would lay down, right, we could say, well, the body could die. Well, yes, but you don't, because God created you and you are eternal, not eternal as a body. You decide when you've used, when it's served its purpose for you, but you don't experience death. That's not possible. You are eternal. You are love. You're an idea in the mind of God of love, and it's being expressed through you as love. God did not create what God did not create, does not exist, not in reality. It can exist as an experience, a temporal experience, but not as your reality. And everything that does exist exists as God created it, as He created it. In other words, it's perfect. It's love. It's beauty. It's principle. The world you see has nothing to do with reality. It is of your own making, and it does not exist. And there you have it. It is of your own making. So who created the world? We do. You did. I do. And we are in co-resonance in this creative or making of a world that is not real. And so, of course, it's temporary. Because it's like children making sandcastles on the beach. You know that the tide's coming in and they'll be washed away. It's just playing. And it really is nothing wrong with playing. There's nothing wrong with being human. You're not being human to be punished. It was a choice you made. A choice you made. The exercises for today are to be practiced with eyes closed throughout. The mind searching period should be short, a minute at most. Do not have more than three practice periods with today's idea unless you find them comfortable. If you do, it'll be because you really understand what they're for. This is a course in mind training. And I know people all the time go, oh, I don't want to be in mind training. We talked about it already in some prior episodes, right? Nobody, but I'm sorry, but you are constantly being trained. Here, finally, it's being brought to your awareness, oh, yes, the world is training me. I'm constantly being trained by the idea of fear, by the idea of separation, by a world of turmoil and chaos and confusion, anxiety, and all the stuff that goes with these lower energy vibrations of ego consciousness. Yes, and I'm constantly being trained to accept it, that I'm going to die, that I am a body, that the world is dangerous and I should live in fear. And the list goes on and on. You know the list very well. No, we finally are beginning to wake up to the realization that there's another choice. I can choose what I give my awareness to. I've been giving my awareness to the world, looking as soon as I wake up in the morning with my eyes open upon a world that is outside of me and giving it all of my awareness. And what do I see? Problems, issues, anger, upset. The list goes on and on and on. But also, there are times, many times, and the more we practice, the more our mind opens up to the truth of who and what we are, more and more and more peace flows into the mind. More and more realization of choice is available. And so instead of forgetting that we, in other words, I'll say, instead of not even knowing we have a choice, to go into the beginning of recognizing you have a choice but not remembering it in tough times, we begin to remember the choice, even in the tough times. And there's a meld that begins to occur. Your mind and the mind of your higher self, your true self, the Holy Spirit, nothing more than your right mind, becomes your experience, and you begin not only to maintain it for longer and longer periods of time, ultimately you begin to sustain it. As your lived experience in human form, you become the embodiment of God energy, the vibration, the octave of love in human form, which was what Jesus was literally, anointed with by the humans around him. It's like he's the God-man, right? This is God in form. And so while the humans and the church made that a very special, unachievable rank or status for the rest of us, oh, no, we're unworthy, lowly human beings, that was a lie. Jesus was literally saying, you and I are brothers and sisters, and I am simply sharing with you the way for you to realize your God self. When you see me, you see the Father. Brilliant teacher he was. So we want to be sure that we're not straining here, right? That we take a very short periods of time, a minute at most, and don't want to do this more than 3 practice periods a day. Again, if you're relatively new to A Course in Miracles, or if this is your first journey through the workbook lessons, I know from my experience and my own experiences of going through these lessons for the first time that it was kind of blowing my mind. It was like it was really pushing against a lot of long-held beliefs. The idea for today is another step in learning to let go the thoughts which you have written on the world. Judgments, right? And see the word of God in their place. I would like to add a definition of the word of God. The word is the energy of the Creator in action, the energy of love in action. Being able to see the energy of the love written on the world, right? In the place of our thoughts of judgment, that something's good, something's bad, something's right, something's wrong, whatever the case may be. The early steps in this exchange, which can truly be called salvation, can be quite difficult and even quite painful. Remember, we talked about the dark night of the soul. Some of them will lead you directly into fear, and you'll not be left there. You will go far beyond it. Our direction is toward perfect safety and perfect peace. There is a phrase that comes to me as I read this from another wonderful teaching from Jesus that was shared with us after the Course in Miracles came along. This camp has come along since then. And he simply says, as Christ, in perfect safety, I release all tension. So you are the Christ consciousness. Christ isn't a personality self. Christ consciousness is the consciousness of your higher self, the true self, the Holy Spirit, nothing more than your right mind. As Christ in perfect safety, I release all tension. The idea for today is another step in learning to let go. These thoughts that we've put upon the world, and we begin to see the Word of God in their place. The early steps in this exchange, which can truly be called salvation, can be quite difficult and even quite painful. Some of them will lead you directly into fear, and you will not be left there. You will go far beyond it. Our direction is toward perfect safety and perfect peace. With eyes closed, think of all the horrors in the world that cross your mind. If you're driving down the road, do not close your eyes. Name each one as it occurs to you and then deny its reality. God did not create it, and so it's not real. This is profound. God didn't create it, and so it's not real. Say, for example, God did not create that war, and so it is not real. God did not create that airplane crash, and so it is not real. God did not create that disaster. You can specify whatever you've defined as a disaster, what the world defines as a disaster, and so it is not real. That disaster is not real because God didn't create it. It's a construct of illusion of the mind of the child of God. Playing in a dream of separation. Suitable subjects for the application of today's idea also include anything that you're afraid might happen to you or to anyone about whom you're concerned. In each case, name this disaster quite specifically. Do not use general terms. For example, do not say God did not create an illness, but God did not create cancer. Let me read that again. Do you get it? He's saying be specific. For example, do not say God did not create illness, but simply say, but be more specific, I should say, and say God did not create cancer or heart attacks or whatever may arouse you in fear. We work in spiritual community as part of our livelihood, my wife and I, and I'll tell you that we're constantly hearing, you know, stories and being, you know, in receipt of firsthand examples of people that are around us that are experiencing, you know, some version of the idea of illness. Cancer, heart attack, heart disease, injuries, one kind or another. Suitable subjects for the application of today's idea also include anything you're afraid might happen to you or to anyone about whom you are concerned. So in each case, name the disaster and be specific. God did not create cancer, as an example, or heart attacks, or whatever might arouse fear. Sorry about that. My phone dropped out. So we got to work on getting better connection, better technology. So we want to be specific when we're looking at things. And in today's practice, remember, just three times or so and no strain. This is your personal repertory of horrors at which you're looking. These things are part of the world you see. Some of them are shared illusions. And others are part of your personal health. It doesn't matter. What God did not create can only be in your own mind apart from his. Therefore, it has no meaning. In recognition of this fact, conclude the practice periods by repeating today's idea. God did not create a meaningless world. The idea for today can, of course, be applied to anything that disturbs you during the day, aside from the practice periods. Be very specific in applying it and say, God did not create a meaningless world. He did not create and specify the situation which is disturbing you, and so it is not real. And we have a tendency to add, and so it is. It's the truth, and so it is the truth. God did not create a meaningless world. So I'm with you, wherever you may be, in whatever state of mind or frame of mind you may feel disturbance, unsettlement, resistance, fear, guilt, whatever. All those energies, I know, when we are in the midst of those energies, we are in the midst of this, what heretofore is often overwhelming evidence that the world is real, that it is hell and can be hell, and that it is dangerous and that we must protect ourselves, and the list goes on and on. Can we remember these basic, very simple principles of truth? God did not create a meaningless world. And if I then am the creator of my experience, because I am the offspring, I am the child, this perfect child of God, playing in a game of separation, I don't have to take this seriously. I can let the serious element of this go. I can let the fear element of it go. As Christ consciousness in perfect safety, I can release all tension. I have that power because all power under heaven and earth is mine. It was my inheritance, and it's never been taken from me. I am the one who has chosen to not accept it in my present moment experience, that I am perfect and there is nothing to fear because there is nothing of reality in the temporal world other than the extension and expression of love, which is everywhere available. But I have to shift my focus. I have to shift my awareness. I have to shift the focus of my awareness and turn to my heart, turn within, and simply say, Father, what is the truth? That's our lesson today, to be true to ourselves, our true self. I love you, my brother and sister, and I'm just thrilled and honored that you're hanging out with me, because I participate in the vibration of your awareness and your love and the focus of your attention on this episode, this radio show. God bless you.
Forgive us our illusions, Father, and help us to accept our true relationship with you, in which there are no illusions and where none can ever enter. Our holiness is yours. What can there be in us that needs forgiveness when yours is perfect? The sleep of forgetfulness is only the unwillingness to remember your forgiveness and your love. Let us not wander to temptation, for the temptation of the Son of God is not your will. And let us receive only what you have given, and accept but this into the minds which you created and which you love. Amen.